welcome, welcome, welcome in. This is the Jamcast on Rookie Radio, Real College Radio. Hope everyone's having a great day. I am Brett Bigelow, filled with a whole bunch of people, same people as last week, but you know what? It's going to be great. How's everybody doing?
Great. I am great. I think everybody's great.
It's Friday. Nice. It's a good Friday. Like, it's not like a normal Friday. Like, it's like,
sunny.
The weekend's here.
Yeah, sunny. We get to breathe a little bit. Yeah. Happy Friday. It's very hot, though.
Happy Friday the 13th.
That's right.
Ooh.
It's like, it's supposed to be
okay,
like
that
a,
was creepy.
I didn't even think of, I forgot.
It was supposed to have like a full moon tonight,
and it's
too.
A full moon.
Yeah. That means like extra bad luck, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of funny because 13 is my favorite number.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of people pick that as their favorite number, even though it's like supposed to be like the, it's not a lucky number. But like a lot of people are like, yeah, that's my lucky number. I'm like, nah, that's. It's
yeah.
not, but
yeah,
it is
it's
what it
unlucky.
Is.
That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole irony.
Have you guys ever done any like Friday the 13th specials before? Like
no.
piercings, anything fun?
Not really, no.
No, I'm not about that.
All right,
that
I guess
life.
I'm the only creepy one over here.
What have you done?
$13 tattoo on the inside of my ankle.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Got it at Bare Knuckle Tattoo.
Yep.
That's
like 2 years ago.
That's probably the only thing I would ever do.
You would do a tattoo?
Yeah, because I have some, so yeah. You know, it wouldn't be bad, but.
I think we're the only ones on here that have tattoos. Do you? You have one, right, Dante?
Nope.
I do not.
Whoa.
And Alyssa?
Planning
no.
on it.
I don't
oh, okay.
have a tattoo. That would be crazy if I did. I don't think people would.
No one would expect that.
Yeah.
You never know. I mean, I like tattoos, but would I ever get one? I'm not that dedicated to anything. But like, yeah, that needs to be on my body forever. That's just not me. But I love tattoos. I think they're sweet. I love hearing people's like stories behind their tattoos
yeah.
and stuff, too.
Yeah. Tattoos are fun. They're cool.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th vibe.
Yeah.
So actually, this is mine and Amanda's second time on the radio today. This
yes.
morning, Amanda, why don't you tell us a little bit about what we did this morning?
Okay, so Alyssa is the president of the Society for Collegiate Journalists, and I'm the vice president. And I know Rachel is also a member.
I'm something.
Brent's something too.
I'm the treasurer. I believe.
I think I'm PR.
Yeah.
And our advisor, she's also a professor here. Her name's Shelley Blundell. She advised us to get in touch with a guy who runs the Youngstown Radio Reading Services for the visually impaired. So every day, I think he said he has about 15 to 20 just volunteers from the community. You know, they can be, you know, like us, older, you know, like older demographic. They come in and they read, you know, Vindicator articles, the Jambar articles, Trib articles, to a podcast, and people who are visually impaired can listen. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So with the recent closing of the Vindicator, there's obviously a big void that's going to be there
yes.
because they read it every day.
Yes.
So
they were also affected by that in some, you know, in some capacity. He talked with us about that.
They invited us to read the Jambar. So
yeah,
we only had time to read three stories.
Yeah, it was a half an hour podcast, and I got in touch with him at the beginning of the week, and I figured, you know, Alyssa and I can start it out and see how it goes. And I think it went great. And I really hope we can continue maybe doing like bi-weekly readings
yeah.
down there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was just a really good feeling to know that we're going to be helping, you know, helping other people in the community get
well,
to.
Well, and you know, it's not just the two of us. The plan is to have all Jambar folks
yes.
or, you know, SCJ members rotate who goes down and reads, because I think it's important to give back in some way.
Of course.
And I think with SCJ, we've always wanted to do a service project, but it's kind of difficult to combine journalism and service, at least to me.
I agree.
I have been trying to look for ideas, you know, something other than like picking up trash somewhere that kind of combines our skill
mm-hmm.
set.
Yeah.
So I think reading our stories to the blind is a good route. So thank you, Shelley, for telling us about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely giving most of the, you know, all of that credit really to Shelley, because she met with him over the summer and she did her own podcast down there. She helped him a couple times throughout the summer and they talked about it. And then Shelley relayed the message to Alyssa and I thought it would be a great thing to do.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
And I think that's awesome just for us too, like to sit there and actually read a story in another form, because we write it for the newspaper, we read it on TV, but it's another way of telling the story. And
oh yeah,
it's exciting.
Those Vindicator stories though were like over 1,000 words, so I was like
how long did
struggling.
It take it,
like
we,
5 or 6 minutes for a story, I would say.
Yeah, I mean we had 30 minutes to do it and we read three stories, so I think maybe even longer.
Yeah,
so maybe
it was
like 10 minutes a story.
As we
yeah.
were going through them halfway through, you know, usually we're used to like 500-600 word stories, these were 1200 words, and in my head I was like, wow, this is, you know, it was a little longer than we thought, but it was well worth it, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we anticipated how long those stories were going to be, because at the end of the day I didn't think it was going to all fit in the paper. I was so nervous when we put it together, but we made it work.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a great opportunity, and you know, something that you know, that we can continue doing. And there's a guy down there, maybe Alyssa wants to share a little bit about the Jam Bar volunteer.
Oh, yeah. So there apparently is a gentleman who works there named Jack who has been reading the Jam Bar every week for, like, the past 20 years.
No way.
Yeah, and he has, like, I guess when he first started, they kind of gave it to him as, like, oh, this is the college newspaper. Just, you know, this is what we'll start you off on. And he's, like, read it ever since.
That's awesome.
So that's so amazing.
I plan to do a story on him because it'd be interesting to see, like,
when we had no idea. We had no clue that this was, you know, that it was being shared on a different platform. So it kind of, you know, is nice to, like, see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, we can see the numbers of people who read the things on the website, but, like, we don't know who's picking up the paper and actually reading it. You know what I mean? Like, the actual paper, we can't really count that. There's no, like, subscriptions. So, like, yeah, that means he comes down here every Thursday, grabs a paper, goes to the office. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
For the last
20
years, you said?
That's what
that's a lot of papers.
Yeah. That's what we were told. The guy who... Well, really, that's more like 2000 now because they're in 2019.
Oh.
So,
oh wait. Well, didn't he say that? Never mind. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
It's been a while. And he wasn't there. So, but the guy who was running the show was like, "Oh yeah, we've had the same guy for like however many years."
That's a lot. I mean,
I'll find out the exact number of years when I hopefully interview him.
Yeah, but, that'd be great.
And Michael Mutter is his name. He's the director of the Youngstown Radio Reading Services program, and he's been there for about 10 years. And he said it's been an amazing, you know, contribution that they can give to the community. And it was housed in the Goodwill Building off of Belmont.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we did that early in the morning, and then right after, I went to the TV studio, did an interview with Ron Jaworski. And Dante, do you kind of want to talk about, like, that whole experience?
Sure. So, going into it, it's Ron comes here every roughly four years to reshoot all of his ad promos for the Penguin Club. All that stuff, season ticket holders, whatnot for athletics. So we decided, we were wondering if we could get an interview with him. And with us being such a new TV show, landing a big time celebrity like that, like Jaws, it's huge. And he was the nicest person.
He was really nice. Like, he was a super professional, you know?
Yeah. And he was so talkative, which was great for Alyssa, because he supplied all the content.
Yeah.
She didn't have to, like, force it out of him. He's a professional, so he just knows. But I thought that it was pretty cool. Got there around 10 o'clock, left about 12, so got to work closely with him, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, you got to direct.
Yeah.
You weren't just working, like, beside him. You were, like, actually telling him what to do.
Yep. I was directing him what to do.
Yeah.
Not only for Jam Bar TV, but also for Penguin Rundown.
Yeah.
Also for WFMJ. I helped direct some of that, some of his promos for that, too.
In the athletic department.
And the athletic department.
Yeah. Wow. So you know this guy pretty well now.
You guys are best friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
probably have a phone number, you know. Probably going to get, like, dinner later tonight or something like that, hanging out. Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know who Ron Jaworski is, because I certainly didn't until this week. He is a former YSU alum who played football here. And then he was in the NFL for, what, 20 years?
Like 17 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's an ESPN analyst. So it was really interesting to interview him. I don't think I was quite as starstruck as some of the sports guys I just don't quite understand football. But he was very nice to me. I honestly felt like I knew him, which was really weird. But, you know, I was talking to a few people, and it's really interesting to interview people who are media savvy, who are more on this celebrity type status, because it's actually way easier than interviewing.
Yeah, because they like to talk about themselves. That's just like,
well,
that's
they know what to do.
Yeah,
yeah, and rather than trying to, like, get it out of a student per se.
Which, yeah,
I mean, I enjoy everyone who comes on the show.
It makes your job way easier.
He was like, "Oh, I'm going to talk forever." And I was like, "I only have 4 questions and we have 5 minutes." He's like, "Perfect. I can go on and on."
Yeah, he's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to, you know, kind of hang out with him. I was helping with the production and everything with the class. And he had a Super Bowl ring on from, like, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, like,
two years ago? 2 years.
2 years ago.
The Philly special.
Yeah, so I actually got to put that ring on. And then he has another one when he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They ended up losing.
Back in 1980.
Yeah. Yeah, and so like I've actually, got to see those. Like
you
like
got to wear it.
I got to wear it. Mm-hmm. He let me like. Well, I think
I saw a photo of you wearing them.
Yeah, I think Nate, Nathaniel Hawthorne, like asked him if he can see it, and then Nate put it on. I'm like, okay, Nate, let me see that real quick. So I had to take a picture of it because I've actually my lifetime I put 2 Super Bowl rings on.
Oh my gosh,
I've put on a Pittsburgh Steelers one from the 70s. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's amazing. How were you able to do that?
So my weird backstory. My dad was working at a home and garden show. One of the guys that was like. Helping out with one of the other tents and setups and stuff was like helping working out, and like he owned it, and then he was on the team, so he had a 74
wow.
ring on. He actually had 2 rings on. He didn't even put 1 on though, but yeah, it was pretty
that's
sweet.
That's cool. Really, and then you were featured on Jaw's Instagram story.
I was
what?
All 3,
which
yeah,
is
all 3
so
of my
cool.
posts. Yeah, all 3 of my posts made it onto his story and stuff. It was pretty awesome. I think his publicist that was there, she's very nice. And
oh, didn't she come into the studio?
Yeah, she was that's the awesome. One. She was yeah. Yeah, she's cool. She was rocking some Yeezys. I had to shout her out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was killing
it. Oh, man.
Yeah. But yeah, besides that, it was really cool. He was an awesome guy. Like Alyssa said, I really wasn't too like starstruck. I mean, he is really cool. I'm like, yeah, I know him more from Monday Night Football because he used to do that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he's out of YSU. He's probably he and like Ed O'Neill are probably like that's like
top
number,
tier.
Yeah, that's number 1 and number 2 interchangeable. It's like who came out of YSU and like. The celebrity aspect of the university, so it's pretty cool just to be like, yeah, you know, I got to work with Ron Jaworski today. No, nothing too crazy,
yeah, nothing,
you know.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, another day in the life.
One of my favorite parts was whenever he was doing the ad lib touchdown and defense chants.
Yeah,
and it was so vintage Jaws. Like I heard his voice come through, and I'm like, holy crap! Like it took me back. To when I used to watch ESPN and Monday Night, whenever he would be calling, and I'm just like, wow.
His speech
I can't
pattern,
believe I'm doing this right
his
now.
His speech pattern is so distinct.
Oh, yeah.
Just the way he talks is like, it's not like any other, I can't do an impression or anything, but like, like I heard him like down the hallway. I'm like, oh, he's in the building. Like, I was having a conversation with Christine. I was like, oh, I hear him. I'm like, there's Jaws. I hear Jaws like walking through the hallways because he has like that just very distinct pattern. I'm not going to. I'll make myself look like a fool if I tried it.
I mean, you really can't replicate it.
No.
Now,
really...
did he do that after his interview with Dom? Because I left early.
Yes. Yeah. He did that at the very end. We got all the scripted stuff done first. And then...
he did all the promotional stuff afterwards.
Yeah, the athletics department was like, can you do this for us too? And he was like, yeah, sure, you know.
He seems very
that's
willing.
Awesome.
Oh, he was... great.
I bet that was very nostalgic for you guys too to hear that familiar voice.
Yeah,
because he really hasn't been on TV for a while.
That's well, whenever
he does stuff, but like he's not like a focal point on anything right now. He's kind of pops on, pops off here and there.
And whenever ESPN made those budget cuts a few years back, and he was one of the ones to go, I was so upset. Like,
because honestly, Monday Night Football has never been the same ever since.
It really hasn't.
They've been trying to fill the shoes of for. Like the last few years with Mike Tirico and Gruden now back coaching and everything, but it's definitely weird because like he was here, so
yeah, and just like seeing him in person, like it was really I was really in awe, you know.
Yeah. So you were starstruck then?
Not really.
No.
Just because I was so busy during the whole time.
You had a mission.
Yeah. I literally once I walked in. I told the crew, I'm like, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set everything up, turn the house lights on. As soon as he comes in, we're micing him, we're going.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what we did. And big applause to all the crew that worked.
Absolutely.
They did an immaculate job.
We did both interviews. It took 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They gave us
an hour to do everything. Like, yeah, you guys have an hour to do that. It took us 10 minutes. We just did it one take and we're done.
Yeah. And
they were impressed. Dante killed it today, though.
Good job, Dante.
Thank you. We actually started early. We were supposed to start around 11:30, 11:20. We started at about 10:45.
So he was there that early.
But he got in around 10:30. He came into the studio and we were there till 12 just shooting stuff. I mean, we had a little bit of extra time, so we got him to do more stuff.
We used the hour.
And it, just working in that type of environment, it really gave me an adrenaline rush that I've never felt before. And I loved it. Like, my heart was pounding. Oh man.
At least now he knows, awesome. You know, that you can you can be good at, in like in action and be efficient and
I think it's so great that out of all the people at YSU, like you guys were the ones that were there.
Yeah. Because they're like, gonna be using that those like the stuff that we shot like for the athletic department, they're gonna use that a lot.
Yeah, for the next 4 years.
Yeah. For every like athletic event.
Yep. And commercials too, whenever they do like Penguin Club commercials, athletic commercials.
It's going to be on TV. It's going to be at the athletic events.
And that was you guys. Yeah. I mean,
Dante directed that, everybody.
Go Dante.
Put that one down on your resume.
Oh, yeah. I already
put it
told,
at the top.
I already right told there. Ryan, I'm like, listen, I need a copy of all that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And like, he's going to give me the raws. So basically, all the stuff that happened in between, which a lot happened, and he made a lot of awesome comments that were really funny. So the fact I'm going to have that is going to be awesome.
For sure. Yeah.
Speaking of football, the 49ers are here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is really amazing.
We just passed them on the way, actually.
Did you guys really?
Really?
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, we were really confused at first because we saw the police cars blocking off the street, and we were like, whoa, what's happening? In my head, I'm like, what do we need to cover?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're like journalistic point of view.
And then, you know, they were just blocking it off because the 49ers are here.
Did you get to physically see them?
Yeah.
Like walk?
They were all on the
soccer
field.
Men. I mean.
They are huge.
They are very huge.
We were talking about it yesterday on Igloo Review, and if you haven't watched it or listened to it, make sure you go do that. It's up. You can check that out. But we were talking about it, like how they are very big men. I walked over there just trying to like see if I can get onto the field and like take a few pictures and stuff. But it was like that was on like lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
But they are massive human beings. And then like I tried to like shoot my shot. I tried to message George Kittle, the tight end for the team. Heard nothing back. It's okay.
Oh, man.
I get it.
It hurts, you should but
have,
it's okay.
You should have DM'd Sherm.
Oh, well, his were blocked. I couldn't
really?
Even. Yeah, he was the only one that, like, on Twitter, like, his direct messages were, like, open. So I sent a couple.
Wow.
I know.
You tried, but
I did try.
Let me just say it was really funny when Brent was talking about it, though, because he was like, oh, I can direct message him. He's the only one that doesn't have me blocked. And the way he said it made it sound like they all blocked him.
Yeah, like you harass the football players.
But really, just they just don't have their direct messages
like,
open.
I'm just trying to do my job.
I want cool people on my show. Could you imagine what a couple days that would be? You know, just for like the jam bar as a whole. Like,
we could take like a month break then.
Oh, I know.
Seriously.
Yeah. It would have been great. You know, have some like, you know, NFL players, like top tier NFL players, like in the here, like that we're doing our stuff now, and then Ron Jaworski today. Like, that would have been just a great, like, 1-2 punch of everything. Yeah.
So, I don't think we realize like how lucky we are at YSU.
We got good.
Look at us. Look at this week.
Yeah.
It's
insane. It's especially like, in print, you guys are doing everything with the TV, and now you guys are starting to do the thing with the podcast. And even, like, in sports, we get Jaws to come here today. The 49ers have been practicing here for the past couple days. I'm not sure if they're supposed to be here next week as well, since they're playing Pittsburgh.
I would say they would leave probably tonight, I would guess.
Yeah, because they play Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, but they play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh next week.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
So are they staying in town?
I don't know. I mean, I hope
so.
That'd
be stupid if they stay 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, I might have to ask around.
Yeah. I mean, because
it only makes sense.
I was looking on, like, all the other news stations' websites, and they were talking about how they're only staying for 1 week. But I was like, they should stay for two, especially if they're playing Pittsburgh next week. We're an hour away from Pittsburgh.
Great central location.
Exactly.
Yeah, really.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland. So, I don't know. It's really been an amazing week.
It really has been.
I think it's been an amazing semester so far.
So far, so good, baby.
So far, so good. I mean, I think we are, like, extremely blessed here at YSU. And, you know, I mean, I know sometimes we hit bumps and challenges and it makes it, like, that much harder to keep moving and going forward. But I think we all have such a drive, you know, for what we're doing. And I think we're only making, you know, we're helping make this program here at YSU so much, you know, just so much that it can eventually be in the future.
Right. Well, speaking of blessed and speaking of football, we have the new Don Constantini Multimedia Center.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm really not into sports broadcasting, so I don't really know much about it. Brent, you want
to
talk?
Back to Dante and I.
Back to us.
Uh-oh, the boys get to talk a lot today.
I know. Today's our show.
Today is our show. You guys are just here.
All right, we're going to leave. Bye.
Yeah,
see ya.
No, I was in there on last Saturday. I actually have a funny story about that. I forgot that existed, and I didn't know it was open yet. So Nate, who's never been to a football game at YSU ever, and he got to work his very first one last week. So I'm like, oh, Nate, cool. I'll show you how to get up to the home side of Stanball so we can work the game up in the press box. So we're walking. It's a good hall. You have to walk up a few steps, take the elevator. It's like a maze to get up there.
Yeah.
We get up there. We get to like the normal press box. I'm like, is this the room looks smaller? Did they cut it in half? They did.
They turned it into
a loge. So the entire home side is loges now, and like party boxes and whatever they want to call them. So I'm looking around. I'm like, I asked one of the janitors, I'm like, is the press still on this side? They're like, no, it's on the other side. I'm like, dang it. Dang it. I forgot it was over there. Like, I forgot that it was even open. So, yeah. So I got to show Nate the upstairs.
How was it? Did you go inside?
The new spot is really nice. Yeah. It's really nice. It's weird to be sitting so close to the field now for, like, the football games because you used to be beating up so high. You need, like, binoculars to watch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I know – sorry to jump
in. No, you're good.
You,
you're fine.
I know they're going to be housing telecommunication classes in there now, which mm-hmm. that's an amazing opportunity for the students.
Yeah, I'm in a podcasting class, and it's supposed to be in that room, like in that building.
It has wow.
Not yet. It hasn't been there yet, but
it will move. Is that with Amy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no tables or chairs, nothing in there. There's no, like, smart boards or nothing in there yet. But there was dinner. They had food there on the football on the game day, which is they always have food for stuff. But
yeah,
it was a good spread.
Yeah. So how has it changed your ability to cover sports then in there?
It honestly has made it way easier, honestly. Because like before, if I would like I would take photos down in the field, and then like I would have to like during halftime like bust my butt to get back upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the SD card, put it on my laptop, get the photos from the SD card onto my phone. But now, like, I could just go through, like, the student section, catch an elevator, and I'm like, oh, I'm there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's so fascinating to get back to the press box now. It's, like, really nice. I don't have to, like, it makes my job so much easier.
Plus, it makes the job easier for people who are working on covering the game.
Oh, yeah.
Just because having to run cable.
What does that mean for our listeners?
So, running cable is basically... there's usually a center control unit that you plug one end of the cable into, and then the cable has to be long enough to plug into the camera down on the field. So
in layman's terms, you're getting wires to the hot box.
Yes.
Where the magic happens.
Yes, and in layman's terms, yes. So with Stanball being up so high, they would have to run 100, 200 feet of cable just to cover the field. Now it's like... 100, like 50 to 100.
Yeah, and so. Even the hot box, like where they have like the camera where the director and stuff sits to like broadcast the game and mm-hmm. like switching stuff, is so much nicer than it was before.
Brand new control room.
Yeah,
too.
The control room for like broadcasting games on like ESPN and stuff is so much nicer. Everything about it, honestly, is an upgrade. Sometimes when you get new things, it's usually like a mixed bag. But honestly, it's all good things that this happened.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. I think it'll help, you know, just for future use and. You know, just even I'm happy that it got up and running this season.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Another thing happening at the football games. This is a football week, guys.
It is great. A football week.
Go football.
I have the biggest smile on my face.
Listen, guys, you can now buy Penguin City beer at the football games. Mm-hmm. Amanda wrote a pretty killer article about it, and she had a really great package in the show. So
thank
do you want to talk about Penguin City beer?
Yeah, so my package covered Penguin City beer, and there was actually a lot going on within the package, so I had to try and, condense it down a little bit. So the main focus was on the Penguin City beer can, paying tribute to the 1994 championship season. And Penguin City beer has a sponsorship with YSU Athletics, and, you know, Rick Love. Correct. Is that his name?
For
the associate
yes, that's
director.
Him.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure.
Rick Love. He.
Like, I know Kevin Love. I don't know who Rick Love is.
Oh, all right, Brent.
That's a whole
sorry.
New transition.
Okay.
Sorry.
Rick Love. He helped the brand manager of Penguin City Beer kind of direct the design for the can. And Penguin City Beer is also the first local brewery to ever sell beer at a football game in the history of, you know, YSU athletics.
That's awesome.
Or even at any athletic event at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have like national branded beers that they can sell, but Penguin City Beer, and it was about, I think, in my own opinion, it was about time, because Penguin City Beer for the last 2 years has been, you know, developed and formed in Youngstown, but they need to start, you know, branching out, and having a partnership with YSU was amazing.
Yeah,
they have
real.
Grown so crazily.
Yes.
I mean,
it's been quick. Yeah,
no one would have ever expected
so
it
so fast.
And when I was talking with them, they Their main focus is distribution to restaurants. They have a list of over 300 restaurants that they provide, you know, their distribution services to. But they want to start expanding outside of Youngstown. So hopefully, they said one day the whole state of Ohio, they can start, you know, distribute.
Nice.
Yeah. And
that'd
it
be
was,
awesome because it tastes so good.
It is really good. This is not an advertisement.
No, it's not.
But
it's not.
Beer tastes great.
I'm not a beer drinker. Good. But that's the only beer that I will, like, go for and drink.
It's
but go,
so
continue
good.
With the story.
No, it's okay.
Sorry.
And no, you're good. Also, they have a new product. They partnered with White House Fruit Farms,
mm-hmm.
and they made
a
peach hard seltzer beer, and it's called Lost River.
I didn't know they were in collab with each other. I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah.
Awesome.
It's just came out this month. It's called Lost River, and it's just, you know, peach ginger. It's a hard seltzer, and they're really hoping that it does well. And yeah, it was an awesome experience. I got to go to their grand opening also of their new distribution center, which is the B&O station. And it's a step up, they said, from their last center. It's bigger. You know, it's a great partnership that they can have with the B&O, White House, YSU Athletics. So they have a lot going on this year. And the can design is great. And, you know, it's an amazing design. And I also got to sit down with Mark Brungard, who he was the key player of that season who won them the championship.
Oh, no way.
He's in the YSU Athletics Hall of Fame. 1993 and 1994, when they won that championship, he led the team to victory, as I was talking with him about it. And I also know him through, he's a pastor at the Church of the Rock in Poland. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's where my boyfriend goes to church. So I have known him for a while. And it was just great to talk with him. And, you know, he left a mark at YSU, and it's still being carried on 25 years later.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. And then with the Lost River seltzer, isn't there going to be a $1 donation too?
Yeah, there's going to be a $1 donation to the Friends of the Mahoning River organization. In every case of beer that they sell, their Lost River product, $1 is going to that organization.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, and they said that it was just a very fitting organization, you know, just being, like, on Mahoning Ave is their location. And, you know, just having that sense of, like, camaraderie with each other is, you know, great. And
yeah, it seems like connections are really important to them. And it's so cool because it's creating, like, friendships. It's creating different brands.
Different,
like,
opportunities.
One thing I saw White House Fruit Farms put on their Twitter, they were like, although we don't sell it here on the farm, because they don't sell alcohol there.
No, yeah.
You can get it in other places.
But yeah, they're just such a great, you know, business, a great company.
Yeah.
I've gotten close with, you know, them co-owners, the brand manager. His name's Michael. He also is a marketing instructor here at YSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. I've heard so many great things about him through other, like, marketing students. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where it's going to go and read about it in the Jam Bar in my package on Jam Bar TV.
Because you brought up the marketing director. Funny enough, I've never watched Casey Malone ever, but I watched Casey Malone the one time, and she was there for the opening, and they interviewed them. They're talking about the whole branding of, like, Penguin City Beer, and they're like, we're not going to use no rust in the design.
Yes, that was that was his main request.
Yeah, because it's like
no steel and industry factors whatsoever, because they want it to be unique. They want it to be modern. They don't want to have that reflection on Youngstown
as being fresh. And it's what Youngstown wants to be now.
Yes.
And I don't think Youngstown wants to be cast over like the rust city. No, that's
not
what we are.
And it's funny because it's ironic and funny to me, because it's like when you think of Youngstown, that's what you think of.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a brand, it's like we want nothing to reflect on the past and like what the hardship.
Right. They
want to
move forward.
Left over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, like, when he said that, I was like, that's freaking genius. Like, I would have never.
I also, yeah, I got
I would
to,
never thought of that.
I didn't get to put that in my story, but he did talk with me about the co-owners and himself. They're all family.
Yeah.
The two co-owners are married, and then he's their cousin. So he told them, he goes, I want to be on board 100%, but one thing that we're not going to do is have that reflection of being considered like the steel industry. So
and their design is so clean.
It is so
clean. It's like
very
you pick
creative.
Up a Penguin City beer, it's green and yellow. It's so different.
Yeah, it's very like crisp, and it's very, you know, edgy. It's great. It's exactly what Youngstown needs.
All of their past designs have been really nice. I know the original, the green, and then also they made one for the Slavic Festival.
Yeah,
that one was really nice as well. And now with football,
that's a pretty can. Heather Newsom from the Jam Bar took a great photo.
Yeah, go check it out
inside of the Jam Bar on thejambar.com.
She took a great photo, a couple great photos. But yeah, I'm super excited. You know, just having a can, you know, just to keep it looks so nice. It's just a great, you know, just a great symbol to have for YSU and just to keep with you.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. It's awesome.
Traditionally, YSU hasn't sold beer. I know. Was last year the first year?
Last year was the first year.
That's right. It was the first year. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it was 2 years ago. But yeah, the thing that they went from like not selling beer to now like supporting local businesses, yep. Like that's like a step up. It's an awesome step up.
And I also was talking with them. They said that they had a sponsorship with YSU Athletics last year, but they wanted to take this one to the next level. They wanted to do something new, creative. They have huge signs hanging up at Stambaugh Stadium. Yeah. You know, they have their whole concession stand just Penguin City beer. So I think that is a huge step up for them.
And I agree.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Awesome step for mm-hmm. them.
So yesterday, this is switching gears a little bit, but yesterday, while doing Jambar TV, you know, this is some behind-the-scenes action, guys. We had a little bit of a situation. Let's talk about it. Dante, do you want to tell everyone what happened? This was before the show, so luckily none of this aired, but...
Yeah, so I go to import all the video into our system that runs all the video and plays it, and all of our packages... They must have been exported wrong because Rachel had a really great package on horseback riding.
It was great.
But we couldn't play it because the audio was like, I'm Rachel.
That's how I recorded it. Well, so what I was told is that some of the videos that got messed up were shot in 4K.
Yep.
And that's the issue.
But I think it was exported in 4K.
Oh, see, Josh told me it was export. Whatever. We'll talk about that part later.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. But yeah, because the TriCaster, which plays all of our videos, doesn't support 4K. It supports 1080p. So we as soon as I found all that, I was like, call Josh. We need to go re-export these things because they're not working. So both of
that's
them
nerve-wracking.
Right before ran.
It was like 2:45. Yeah. And 4:15.
I was in the office when they ran in, and Colin had sweat all over his whole entire body. His arms were sweating.
He ran.
Like, he sprinted.
I saw him running.
And
that's terrifying.
It was a total of 5 videos that messed up.
And that's a good chunk of what we needed.
It is. Yeah.
And just like, to kind of explain to people who aren't really familiar with like broadcast and how we do Jambar TV, so packages and all the videos we're talking about is all of our pre-recorded stuff for the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have the anchors talking on camera, but without the video element, without those interviews and that, you know, really just the video in general, it would simply be the anchors at the desk talking, which wouldn't be much fun to watch in my opinion.
No. It was a lot of talking.
It was a lot of talking. I will say though, for you guys being in that position for the very first time, you guys handled it phenomenally. And because Alyssa, I mean, with everything that was going on with her, she was still chugging along, typing scripts.
Yeah, you handled it well.
Like an hour before showtime, she wrote like 5 scripts. And then even Mandy and Thomas having to adjust like that on the fly. It was extremely hard.
There was like 30 seconds before the show, and Thomas and I both had plans to read certain things off of certain stories off of our papers. And literally within like 15 seconds, they were like, okay, Thomas, you're good. Mandy, just, you know, read off the paper. So that was challenging. But I think it was a good challenge to experience, you know, because now moving forward, if that ever happens again, we'll know how to handle it. And it was only our 4th episode, so we're still somewhat, you know, we're progressing each week immensely, but we're still trying to get our feet on the ground and be stable each week. So I think that just kind of helped us moving forward. I think it was, you know, it worked out.
It's 4 episodes in, right?
Yes, 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exciting, though, because I mean, like, it's nice to see some type of, see, like, not to say it happened on purpose or a good thing that it happened on purpose or whatever, but it's just good that it can, you know, keep you guys on your toes, you know, keep yourself improving, always growing.
Yeah, it's different every week.
So what we ended up doing is right before, and this happened right before the show, which is why it was so stressful. You know, you think you have everything in place, you think the anchors are ready to go, and then... Mm-hmm. Wait, we don't have video. It's not playing right. So that was really stressful, but...
Welcome to broadcast.
Really, yeah. So we wrote the scripts. We changed them. Instead of saying, hey, you know, a video will play right now, we said, Amanda, you're going to have to read what the story is about and have to tell the viewers what's going on with the latest horseback riding class, for instance.
Yeah, I had to read Rachel's package as a reader. And
I'm
was...
so sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, I looking back at it, I'm kind of, you know, in hindsight, glad that it happened the way it did, just to give myself, you know, some more experience and to know now if that challenge comes up, like, I'll be able to, like, handle it. You know, but I do feel horrible because Rachel's package was amazing. And
thank you. The only thing I'm sad about, oh, thank you so much. You're so sweet. The only thing I'm sad about is during my one interview with this girl, we did it with a horse behind her in the horse stall. And this guy, this horse kept just yawning. I've never seen a horse yawn in my life.
It was yawning?
Yes. And its mouth was wide open.
It was like, oh, I'm tuckered out. It was like,
no, it was just, he opened his mouth. You saw all his teeth. He stuck his tongue out. It was so funny. And the girl was, like, laughing.
That's crazy. And,
but you know what? It'll be on the website. I'll put it up there.
I've been around horses, like, all my life, and I don't think I've ever seen a horse yawn.
Maybe he was camera shy. Maybe. I don't know.
So, could have been. Alyssa, do you want to explain then, like, the finished product of what ended up happening with the show and, you know, just, like, what we had to...
I mean, really, in the end, it was...
Everything worked
it
out.
It worked out, yeah. I mean, it really worked out. The only thing we had to do was read a few things. Otherwise, would have had video. But it was a good experience. But one package that did make the cut that I really liked was Brandon's goat yoga
package.
I want to watch it. I haven't watched it
yet.
Oh,
my gosh, it's so funny. So, Brandon Brown, he's one of the anchors on Jambar TV. We recruited him to go and help Isabel get footage of goat yoga, where they do yoga and have goats running around. I'm still a little confused.
Yeah,
but
it's like in a pen. You do yoga, then like you said, the goats are kind of like free to roam inside the pen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had food. Like, so if you took part in the yoga, they like gave you goat food so that the goats would come up to you. But it was so funny because he was doing yoga with them. Like, he was doing all the moves, and it was really funny to see because he didn't just, you know, do a stand-up. He became part of the package, which I thought was really cool. So everyone needs to see that.
Oh yeah. It was so funny because after Brandon came up to me the next morning and he goes, Rachel, I've never done yoga before. I am so sore. And it was just so funny because he really did become part of that story. Yeah. He did yoga the whole entire time, played with the goats.
That's dedication.
Which I'm very jealous of. I was going to go, but I was at my horseback riding package.
A lot of animals and football.
A lot of animals, yeah.
In this week's paper, a lot of that.
But it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really think it's cool to see the different things that we're covering now because we have that video element. I think some things we may not have covered as well because we were a print newspaper, we weren't focused on that visual element. So we wouldn't have done something creative like put Brandon doing yoga. We would have just gone to the event.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very creative. Like that's an awesome thing. That makes great television, seeing like that kind of that whole element of, like, you know, he is in the story basically. Like, he is doing the yoga, partaking in goat yoga, and I can and helps you write about it and helps you tell other people what it is.
Yeah, and he did a great job covering the actual event. He was very active and engaged, you know, during the actual yoga process. So
yeah,
he did a great job.
One video that stalled that I actually thought was cool was my interview segment. So my interview, I, you know, do in the studio, but this week I interviewed a poet who, like, wrote her own book. So we took some shots of her, like, flipping through her book, you know, picking it up, just, you know, just some B-roll. And the video stalled, and it became, like, slow motion. But it actually kind of looked really cool. Because, I mean, the interview was fine. Like, that was normal. But all of the footage of her, like, flipping through the pages was, like, really slow motion. Looked pretty sweet.
It added almost like an artistic element to it.
Yeah, it did.
That was totally not meant to happen.
Yeah, that was totally not meant to happen.
If you claim that you did it on purpose, we're like, wow, that was a very bold choice by you. And it'd be like, it's like, yeah, I came up with that. You know,
it was
my
an artistic
idea.
Choice.
Yeah.
Totally. Great idea.
I did that in post, you know.
Alyssa, do you want to explain a little bit about Gigi and her book and what the grain of salt is about?
Yeah, of course. So I wrote a story on a girl named Gigi Vigorito. She's a freshman here at YSU, and she recently wrote a poetry book, and it's a collection of poems about overcoming hardships. And she has experience writing, but not quite poetry, so it's kind of new for her. And the reason why she kind of got inspired to do this was based on her mother's passing. So her mom had ovarian cancer, and then she struggled with addiction, so she ultimately passed away from an overdose, which Gigi is very, like, open and talks a lot about that, which I think is great to kind of be able to take that experience and learn from it. And the book is called With a Grain of Salt, and I think that's really fitting for the type of situation. She said all of her hardships, she's learned to take them with a grain of salt. So the book doesn't necessarily talk about her specific hardships. It's more easily digestible for everyone to kind of relate to the things that they go through.
Yeah, I really want to read it. The illustrations on it are amazing, and they're very simplistic.
They remind me of Milk and Honey. It's like what her book reminds me of.
I love Milk and Honey.
Oh, then you would love this. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, it's not like most guys are like, yeah, Milk and Honey. I love that.
Hey,
stuff.
You own that, Brent. Yeah, that's awesome.
I am. It's that's all good you, stuff. Man. That's good poetry.
Do you read poetry, cool. Dante?
No, I do not. Well, I do not read poetry.
Better start.
I should. I just started reading the newspaper a couple weeks ago.
I know. So we're so proud of that. Did you read this week's?
I haven't been able to.
He's been busy directing.
I've been
busy trying to get everything set up for the upcoming weeks in Jambar.
Well, you just need to read Amanda's, mine, and Rachel's. I'm kidding.
Yeah, read the horsey story.
Read the horsey story?
Oh, yeah, your horsey story. I was thinking about your budget story.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that. So all in all, basically right now, Youngstown State University is going through a period in time where we have low enrollment. Our enrollment is down about 4.3% compared to last year. And that means, I know, right? And according to the provost, Brian Smith, every 100 students were down. That's $1 million in lost revenue. So the university is in a period right now where they're not necessarily going to be cutting programs. They're not going to be doing things where people are losing their jobs right now. But they are looking at ways that they need to either save money or, as the provost said, boost efficiencies. So make the university a little bit more efficient with the way that it runs and the way that it uses money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how that pans out, because as of right now, that kind of was just a story of what the provost was saying about the current budgeting situation. So there will be a lot more coverage on that within the coming months to see what's happening to YSU. And if we're going to need to get to a period like what happened at the University of Akron, when they had to cut a lot of programs.
They cut like, what, 80 programs or something?
Yes, and some of them were masters.
They cut like their whole
STEM programs, yeah, even.
Like, they cut like all total programs at Akron.
Yes.
When was that?
Not too
long. It was about a year ago. Yeah, Don't quote me on that, but I believe about a year ago.
Pretty recent.
I feel like that sounds familiar, but like 80 programs, that's a lot.
And I think a lot of people at YSU are afraid that that's going to happen here because they saw what happened at Akron and they're terrified of it. I mean, that's their job, that's their livelihood, that's people's education.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous but interested to see what happens. So we'll keep you updated.
Yeah. Check back for more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a really interesting thing about enrollment is? The class of 2015 that graduated, not like high school, we have the most fifth years.
Really?
You know that? What's wrong with you guys?
I don't know. I think we just take a long time to decide with everything that we're going to do. Like, because me and my buddy, we were talking about it in Wendy's, and me and him both graduated in 2015, and we're both fifth years now. And he was like, did you know that? I'm like, oh, no, that's...
Yeah, where did he learn that from? Because that's really interesting.
I don't know. I gotta ask him about it, but yeah. I'll ask him and see.
Because that's really interesting. I wonder why. I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with going a fifth year, though. Some people go a sixth year.
Not at all.
Sometimes you need that extra time to figure out what the heck you're going to do with your life.
I'm going 4.5 years.
Good for you. I'm happy that you're going 4.5 years, because I thought you were going to graduate this December.
You were panicking because you're panicking. About to take the Jambar, like, you know, the editor-in-chief's spot. You're like, I need a social media guy. You're to graduate. I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. I'm a lot of people are graduating in December.
Yeah, they are.
Who?
There's a lot of people.
Who's graduating in December?
All of our advertisement guys. Okay. Yeah. Couple other people.
Yeah. A lot of my friends, like, I like just kind of hung out just like through YSU. They're all graduating like this semester too, so maybe that 14-15 graduating classes are kind of like hanging on.
Maybe
because I graduated in 14, but I took a year off after high school, you know, and then I started college. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I'm 4.5 years, but you know, it is what it is. It don't matter too much. But
why did you take a year off? I'm curious.
Just to make money. you know.
That's smart.
To
kind
of work a little bit.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I kind of decompress after like high school and just kind of like refocus, make sure I know exactly what I want to go to school for so that I'm not like, you know, changing majors in the middle. So yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah,
because it's just like I'm not the pressure. Like, it's not high school's like the pressure you to go to college as soon as you graduate, but it's not necessarily like a do or die situation, you know. I mean, going to college, like, I don't know.
Are you happy you waited?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird though, because it's weird. A lot of the people I went to high school with, like, they're graduated. Some of them are getting married now. It's like I'm still in college, but we're all still in the same group. I feel like I'm like maybe like like 6 months behind everybody, which is okay. I'm not trying to go get married or anything. I'm not ready for any of that right now. I'm still in school. And I'm doing okay. So life's great.
There's a story coming up in the Jam Bar next week about three different students at YSU that have changed their majors three times.
Oh my gosh.
I changed mine four.
Really?
Four.
What were your... All right, tell us more. Tell us more.
So first, if you believe it or not, I was IT. Right?
Silence. I can believe it.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then I went to undecided for a little bit. I count that.
It counts.
Because I had to wait for my audition into music school to see whether I was going to get accepted or not. Got accepted, became a music ed major, focus and voice. I did that for a year, hated it. And then now I'm TCOM sports broadcasting with a minor in multimedia journalism.
Dang right.
And let me tell you.
Feels right.
So glad I took the extra year to decide.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So
sometimes you just like you need that
trial and error.
It's a big decision to make, like what you're going to be dedicating, like basically your life to forever, or like for the 4 years you're going to school for it. So it takes some time to like make sure you figure out what you want to do.
Right, and I always tell incoming students, I'm like, listen, go undecided, get your feet wet.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going undecided, like your first year or two, because that way you get all your like your BS classes done, like all the classes that everybody has to do,
like your gen eds and whatnot, and I'm just get your feet wet, get all those classes done, think about what you want to do, and then go and pursue it.
I think a lot of people are afraid to do that though. I feel like you're pressured. They want you to have a major.
I think they are. Especially coming out of high school, now you're pressured to go to college, because now it's like either you go to college or you don't get a good job.
Or you go to college and you still don't get a good job. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is anymore.
I mean, even like that's totally false. Going to college. I mean, I always encourage people to go to college, but you don't necessarily have to go to college.
Yeah,
you know, because like in the sports broadcasting department, what I want to do, I didn't have to go to college. You know, all you have to do is know someone, and they could get you a job. Work in production or whatever for a sports team.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to college to find out what I wanted to do and to make those connections. That way it'll make my life easier going after graduation.
Yeah, I think it just all depends on what path you're going down, and really just for each of us it's different. Every single one of us is different. So
I'm excited to read that story.
And we've all built connections with each other though.
Yeah.
Like, one day, if I'm working somewhere and then Alyssa applies, I'm going to be like, hire her. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think that'll go full circle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
At some point.
Down the road.
Definitely.
Yeah, we were just talking last night, the three of us, Amanda, Rachel, and I. How weird
talking, is that?
Who's going to grad school? Who's, you know.
Who wants to do this? Who wants to do that?
It'll all work out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. So thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate everyone coming on and, you know, talking and discussing their stories and everything. But make sure if you enjoy the show, make sure you go share it with everybody when it gets posted, all the cool outlets and everything. Hope everyone has a great weekend, has a great everything, and we'll catch you guys next week. And don't forget, journalism matters.